This morning, if you have your Bibles, we want to continue our study through the book of Revelation. Last Sunday, we looked at the fact that religious Babylon will fall. And this morning, we're going to be looking at chapter 18, where it talks about really commercial and political Babylon. And that's going to fall as well. And I'd just like to begin by reading verses 1 through 3. I don't know if we'll get further than that or not this morning. And after these things, I saw another angel come from heaven, down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. Just open prayer. Father, as we come before you this morning, Lord, I pray that you would just help us to understand your word today. Lord, help us to understand the day in which we live, that the reality of this being put into place, of what is said of all the things that were happening in Babylon is coming about in the day in which we live. But our focus is to be on you. And Lord, help us to realize that when Babylon falls, it's because of you. Lord, I pray that you would just open our hearts this morning and help us not to be filled with fear and despondency, but rather realize that we have a message of hope and a message that can transform people's lives. Speak to us through your word this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As you read these three verses, it shows you the depth of depravity that's in Babylon. But it also shows you it will not stand. And the key is, what is our response and what is our understanding? A lot of people look at the world today and we were just talking about it before the service began. Can we change it back? The more I see, the only way that it's ever going to be changed back is if God's people get their hearts right and get their eyes on the Lord. This morning I just want to give you a description of Babylon. Babylon is a location in the world. Babylon is spoken about by the prophet Isaiah in chapters 13 and 14, spoken by the prophet Jeremiah in chapters 50 and 51. In both of those passages, the prophets were giving prophecies to the nation of Israel, but with prophecy you have to understand there's a near prophecy and there's a far prophecy that can come out of the same prophecy. They both were talking about the fact that Babylon would fall. And it would fall in a day. But then they also talk about the fact that it would never be inhabited again. There would never be a stone upon a stone. That stones would not be used by Babylon to build anything else. And we see that the fact that Babylon fell in a day, just like they said, happened. And it happened to their immediate audience, the Jewish people that had been taken captive by Nebuchadnezzar into Babylon. And that Cyrus was going to come in and defeat Babylon in a day. The city of Babylon. It happened. But since that time, during our lifetime, Babylon was trying to be rebuilt, first by Saddam Hussein. And for those of you who want to know logistically where Babylon, the city, and ruins are, they're still there today. They're only 50 miles from Baghdad. He was taking rocks and bricks and stones from Babylon and rebuilding structures. The Bible said that wasn't going to happen. But it was happening. So what's this other prophecy where it says it's utter destruction and desolation and nothing will ever go there? In both prophets it says men will never live there. People won't even take their goats to herd there. So is God saying something is wrong? Well, it's interesting to look at what's happening in the world today. Like I said, if you go back and we don't know history, and that's half of our problem. Even as Christians, we don't know Bible history, we don't know church history, we don't know where we've come from, we don't know why we've come from, we don't know where we're going. But if you go back in church history, you will see that there's always been times of extreme crisis like we're existing in today. God in His mercy has brought about deliverance from that, and He's brought revival at various times in history. In order to understand Babylon and what's going to fall, one needs to understand the roots of Babylon. What are the roots of Babylon? All the way back to the Garden of Eden. All the way back when Satan fell because of his pride. The roots of Babylon are rebellion and pride and sin. What was Adam's sin? He rebelled against God. He did not do what God called him to do. God didn't make Adam's life difficult. He only said one thing. Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and that's the one tree that we're told they ate of. That's the root of Babylon. Rebellion. And most churches today don't even preach about the root of Babylon, so how can they even address Babylon? They don't want to talk about sin. We wink at it. We accommodate it. And we don't tell people about it. And we don't tell them where it's going to take them. Not because we want to stomp on them, but because we love them. Why do you think that Jesus spent most of His time with sinners? That the world perceived as sinners. So much so that the Pharisees and the scribes were constantly on His case. All you do is eat with the sinners. With the drunkards, with the gluttons. Because He knew He had to deliver them from their sin. That was their only hope. But the roots of Babylon began in the rebellion in the Garden of Eden, and really before that, in the rebellion of Satan in heaven. Everything you're seeing happen in our world today is founded in one of two things. Either it's founded in worship of God or in following Satan. It's that simple. And what you're seeing is the manifestation of the greatest rebellion that the world has ever seen. As I was reading, we got this book, and this is an interesting book. We got it for our girls when we were homeschooled, and I encourage you to get it because it's got a lot of good information in it. It's called Church History. It includes great missions, the cults, and things to come. It was written in the late 70s or early 80s. Do you know where our current attitudes in public education began? Do you know where our current attitudes in political reform began? All the way back, like I said, back to the Garden of Eden, back to the Tower of Babel. But in more modern times, we had Rousseau and Voltaire, two French philosophers, who declared that absolutes shouldn't be adhered to, God didn't exist, and that man was the epitome of everything. That sounds a lot like what happened at the Garden of Eden, right? And out of that came the Renaissance movement. Most people don't know that at the same time the Renaissance was occurring in France and they were beheading everybody, including those who had begun the Renaissance, another event was occurring in England. England was ripe at that time for the same thing to happen in England that happened in France. Why didn't it? Because of the prayers of faithful saints that God would bring revival. Because Christians prayed for revival. What was happening in England that made England ripe for a rebellion just like France? You had little itty-bitty kids sent into coal mines to mine coal, who would die before they were teenagers from black lung. You had people living in despicable conditions while the wealthy had all they could do to spend their money, because they had so much at the expense of the poor. But what happened? People got saved. People got saved. And they realized there was one being in the universe that all men stood accountable to, whether you were the king or whether you were the lowliest peasant, and that was the God of heaven. And that you stood accountable to him and would have to answer to him one day for your actions, your thoughts, your words. And people began to cry out as Jesus Christ was presented as the only means of hope that the king or the peasant had was to be saved through the blood of Jesus. Revival occurred. And rebellion and revolt was stayed. In England. What we are seeing today in America is the fruit of Voltaire, Rousseau, Hegel, the German philosophers and the German theologians, all that declared God was dead in one form or another, or that we had no accountability to him, or that man was the greatest. Right now, there's four school board members are being recalled in Fargo because they're promoting ungodly things like critical race theory and wearing masks and all kinds of things. But if you stop and look at it, it's the logical outcome of where they were educated and where they were being led to. And guess what they need to hear? The gospel. Did you know that John Dewey, everything that he put forward in education and progressive education is being lived out in our schools today? In the colleges, in the schools. Yet if most people don't even know what John Dewey believed, they think of John Dewey, they think of the Dewey Decimal System at the public library. That's what they think of John Dewey. He was a wicked, wicked man. He hated God. And he believed, like Rousseau, like Hegel, like Kant, like all of these men, man was the epitome, and get God out of the way. And so he introduced progressive education. Part of progressive education was that you taught a different way. There were no absolutes. There is no real right or wrong, because there's no God to be accountable to. And he began to teach that in various forms of one another, and it manifested itself in things like in biology, you have evolution being taught as fact. In English, you have the raunchiest stuff being taught to the kids as reality. In math, you don't even have absolutes in math. 2 plus 2 can equal 5 under the right circumstances. And you can't even teach. When I went to school, progressive education was just beginning to raise its head. Today it's got the whole classroom. But when I was taught math, I was taught this is the principle. Learn the principle, apply the principle, and then you can solve the problem. Today, they're taught, well, come up with your best answer. Creative writing, do you know creative writing in most of the public schools is, you don't have to spell right, don't have to have certain structure right. You don't even have to have a decent story or theory, you just have to write something. That's creative writing. Just be creative. It's no wonder we're at where we're at in America today. Francis Schaeffer wrote a lot of books, but the last book he wrote, The Great Evangelical Disaster, was really his most profound book. Because in that book he saw clearly where the problem lay. The world's always been that. The world's always had these philosophies. You think evolution is new? It goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. You think rebellion against God is new, that man is the epitome of things? Nope, go all the way back to the Garden of Eden. You think taking responsibility and being accountable is new, that to not do that? Nope, goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Been with man as long as man's been here. So what's made the difference? When people have turned their eyes on Jesus. That's what's made the difference. In the text this morning, after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried with a strong voice saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. That tells you what Babylon is. It gives you a description of Babylon. Every wicked and evil thing is found in Babylon. As Christians, should we desire to have anything to do with Babylon? The answer is no. It's interesting. Whenever God's people got in trouble, they did what Babylon told them to do. Sunday school, been studying Abraham in Genesis. How did he and Sarah get in trouble? They listened to what the world's way of doing things was in having a child when you couldn't have one, when it appeared you couldn't have one. And they did it the way the world said. And they got in trouble. And we're still living with consequences of those decisions today. In the Middle East, you've got relatives of one another. We went to Petra, and the Nabataeans are the ones that built Petra for the Edomites. And our guide, I was walking with him, and I said to him, "You're all relatives. You're all cousins. Why do you fight?" He said, "There's a difference in the heart." That was a difference. Difference to this day. What is the difference between us and Babylon? Every wicked thing is found in Babylon. Now, why aren't we ineffectual? Why aren't we seeing revival come today? I hear some Christians talking about that the greatest revival in the history of the world is coming. I don't think it's coming. Instead, I'm seeing the stage set for the Antichrist to make his grand entrance. And I'm seeing the stage set for him to take control of the whole world. And I'm seeing the stage set for every man, woman, and child to be brought under the thumb of an authoritarian Babylonian government. Just saw more of this last week. Last time I looked, our Constitution in the United States said that we have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We have a right to our personal freedoms. The government can't dictate to us, nor can it do. You know what our president said last Friday? Every company that's got more than 100 employees will have to force their employees to be vaccinated with a shot that doesn't do anything. I mean, just look at the logic. There is no logic. Because the shot, the manufacturers of the shot can't even tell you how much antibodies it'll give you and how long they'll last. Then everything has been lies from day one. This whole thing is nothing but a giant lie. Because that's what Babylon does. Babylon lies. From day one, you've never known how serious this disease was. You never knew who really made it. Now things are leaking out, and it turns out that who were the biggest promoters of stopping this were the ones that had started it for their own purpose. And it's amazing, some of them come out and say, "Oh, you got to beware because the next one's going to be worse." How do they know the next one's going to be worse? If you look at viral infections, when viruses mutate, they get weaker, not stronger. Not unless you're introducing a new virus that you put in there because you're the one that's telling it's coming. You better get afraid. And what are we as Christians going to do? Cower in fear as well? Wickedness comes out of Babylon. Lies come out of Babylon. I was talking to somebody the other day and we were talking about this and I said, "Well, I don't know what I'm going to do. You know, I've got to feed my family." You realize you always have choices? Whereas Christians in China have choices. Those who choose rightly don't have it easy. They're like David, and he says, I feel like I'm sinking in the miry clay. Help, help! And then there's a hand that lifts me. Hand that lifts me. It's a hand of God. What would you do if you were somebody in Nigeria or Sudan and the Muslims came to your house and they said, accept Muhammad as a true prophet and Allah as the only God and God has no sons or die? What would you do? You have choices. You don't have to accept Islam. But it might mean you have to die. You know what they're doing? These are people that don't have our money, that don't have our education, that don't have our right to call a senator, that don't have any of that. And they stand before him and said, Jesus is the only God. Jesus is my Savior. Boom, you're dead. We don't have enough courage to stand up and tell our neighbors. Yet we expect God to somehow miraculously deliver us from the tyranny that's coming. It's already here. That's where Babylon came from, and that's where you can go back, and I don't want to bore you with all of the, I could read you a whole list of philosophers and historians and scientists that are atheists and agnostics, but they're really not, because they believe in a God. They either believe that they're God or that Satan's God. And ultimately, they're all worshiping Satan. And if you really get into some of these people, into their lives, it's not good. They're wicked. They're very wicked. And just because they've got a high position of power and a good degree from a well-known university and have a lot of money doesn't make them any less wicked. As a matter of fact, if they worship their money, the Bible tells us that the love of money is the root of all evil. I just want to tell you something which I've tried to tell people. If you want to know the truth of what's happening in our country, follow the money. If you want to know what's really going on in the hospitals, follow the money. If you want to know why the doctors won't stand up when there's been, how many? The last I heard, 15,000 deaths reported on Bayer's website due to the shots, most of which come, by the way, from Pfizer's shot. And over 500,000 adverse reactions. That's more deaths than all of the vaccines that have been administered for the last 20 years. And Bayer themselves admits that only 1 to 10% of the people will actually report an adverse reaction or a death to their website. So you could put one or two zeros behind all those numbers. And you say, well, I don't hear about it on the news. I turn on the nightly news. I don't hear anything about it. I heard Hank Aaron died of a heart attack a week after he had his shot. One of the side effects of the shots are you get blood clots, causes heart attacks, strokes. My daughter in Minneapolis knows personally of two women, 171, 141, got the shot, first shot they got. They were very sore, but they weren't debilitated from it. They went and got the second shot. The 71-year-old had been an active, vibrant person. All of a sudden, all her organs shut down. The 41-year-old, same thing happened. All her organs shut down. The 71-year-old went to the hospital. They were able to administer drugs and things to her, and they were able to save her life. The 41-year-old, they weren't. What did they die from? Oregon shut down? No, they died from the vaccine. One died from the vaccination. The other one went from being a vibrant 71-year-old who had all kinds of energy. She says, I got to go home and take a nap every day because I'm so tired. Lies. But they do not get paid to tell you the truth. They get paid to lie. Why? There's an agenda. The agenda is a Babylonian agenda. The agenda is to control the world. My wife and I went to prophecy conference in Winnipeg for over 20 years. And we hear this stuff being talked about. Some of it, when we first started going, they couldn't figure out how are they going to actually administer it? How are they going to do this? Guess what? They're doing it. How do you bring the whole world? You realize Australia is totally locked down? If you're a citizen of Australia, you can't leave your house. Do you realize that they took 29 children in Australia away from their parents and took them down to the local hospital or wherever they took them, clinic, and administered the shot against their parents' will? Do you realize in Israel, they have the highest shot injection rate just about in the world? It's between 80 and 90% of the people in Israel have had the shot. I just read on the Israeli news website that I get an app on my phone, and it said, Israel is having its third wave and the most serious wave of infections of COVID that they have had. Yet they've got the highest shot rate. But in our country, they lie. And they say everybody that's getting infections from the new strains of the COVID, they're the ones that haven't had the shot, so you better run and get your shot. And they don't tell you about Israel. Or Gibraltar. Or the other nations. That's Babylon. I want you to know that when we were up there, they bring these things and we think, some of this sounds like really craziness. There's a guy, a pastor by the name of Pastor Billy Crone. He's in Las Vegas. He brought up some things to the conference talking about artificial intelligence and robots. And he had a really good presentation. He showed what was going on in this field, what their intents were with it. Did you know that you're expendable? In the eyes of those in power of the Babylonian agenda, you're expendable because you're just a human. You make mistakes. They can program a robot so it won't make mistakes. They can program a robot so it doesn't care if it works 8 hours a day, 12 hours a day, 24 hours a day. It's not going to ask for overtime, time off, personal leave. It'll just work. In the programming, they showed us these robotic soldiers he had on his film, and they could fight just like regular soldiers. So they don't need people. But then, as you listen to these people talk, I remember studying when Constance Cumby came here, and she was talking about the New World Order, and she was talking about the fact that they were going to take over the world, and this was back in the late 80s. We heard her up at the Free Lutheran Church, not Free Lutheran Church, the they're in Moorhead, and they used to be up in South Fifth Avenue in Fargo, in Moorhead. I heard her talk, and she was talking about they were coming and their plan. But they really weren't talking, they weren't talking that much. Our daughter always used to say, Mom, Dad, who are they? Now we know who they are. Because now they're talking. They've come out and they've said, we've got the invisible tattoo. We have got the ability to mark every person in the world. And we are going to mark every person. We're going to make sure every person takes this vaccine. And part of the whole thing is to get marks to get you used to being submissive, and then the mark is going to come. I read another article this last week that said, you realize you're not going to be able to buy food pretty soon? Unless you've been vaccinated? Wow. That sounds like Babylon. That sounds like what Babylon's going to do. That sounds like what the Bible said Babylon was going to do. You couldn't buy or sell unless you had the mark of the beast. And we said that those who took the mark of the beast would experience the judgment of God. So we see they're laying the groundwork. And this is Babylon you're seeing. How do you stop Babylon? The only way you stop Babylon. You know, and during World War II, most people don't know this either. I've shared it with you before, but I want to bring it to again, because this is how you stop Babylon. Adolf Hitler looked like he was just going to march right across Europe. All of a sudden, there was a man by the name of Rees Howell, who had some seminary students in England. God laid in his heart to start praying. I suppose they could have petitioned the King of England. I suppose they could have gone to the English Parliament and said, you need to put a stop to this. But no, Rees Hall was laid on his heart that he needed to take this to the Lord. So he went to his seminary students and said, we need to pray. We need to pray confusion and that Hitler will be confounded and confused. And that God's will would be done to protect England and the free nations from him overtaking us. They began to pray. You know what happened? All of Hitler's best generals said you need to send everybody to the Western Front. The Allies are hurting. We can defeat them if you send them to the Western Front, which would have been France, Poland, all of those nations where we were fighting. But instead, Hitler had his spirit guide that would tell him what to do. His spirit guide said, send him to Russia. Send him to the Eastern Front. He defied his generals. And he sent all of his troops, or the majority of them, to the Eastern Front. And that had the worst winter they ever had in Russia. And the German troops, they ran out of provisions. Their equipment was failing. And they lost their battles on the Eastern Front. And it was the beginning of the downfall of Germany. They were praying in a prayer group in England. God confound Hitler. And may his spirits tell him to do that which you know will lead to their defeat. How many people today are praying that our president will be totally confounded and won't know what in the world? Yeah, he doesn't know what's going on, but the people behind him do. How many people are praying that they'll be confounded? How many people are praying for the salvation of those that are walking in fear? And doing that which they know they in their hearts they shouldn't do, but they do because of fear? How many of you are praying for them? How many of you are praying for your fellow Christians that sit in churches where nobody ever talks about this stuff? And it's like life is just going on. We're engaged in the greatest battle that's ever been in the history of the world. And I want to tell you, the only place we're going to win it is in prayer and in sharing the gospel with people. I went to the city hall just about every meeting for about 2 or 3 months last year. At the end, I was the only one there talking against masks. Because the first one, there was a whole bunch of people. But at the end, it was me. And I remember the last time I spoke, I called Tony Gehrig before I went, and he said, "Glenn, don't talk to him about science. They know the science. They know what they're doing is wrong. If you've got stories, tell them stories. Like the kids that were committing suicide because of what was happening. Like the kids that were getting sick because they had to wear masks all day." He said, "Tell them those stories. Maybe they'll touch their heartstrings." But they didn't. Why? It's a spiritual battle. And they've sold their souls to Babylon. I remember a statement that was made by the mayor of Fargo about a person they were going to hire, that person is going to find racism in Fargo because that's his job. That's what they hired him for. And he was hired to see if Fargo is a racist community. And one of the commissioners made the statement at the meeting, "I know what you're going to find. You're going to find racism here because your job pays you $100,000 a year and you want your job." He had a proper perspective, follow the money. But it was made and they voted in favor of hiring the guy because the federal government was giving us his first year's salary plus, and so we could have him for nothing and then we could see if what was real. Lies, lies, lies. Because their eyes are blinded. Their eyes are blinded, their ears are stopped. It's just like Israel. You go in the Old Testament in Israel and you go, they were given all the truth. They had it all there. You realize every one of those people that are sitting on the commission is a little bit younger than me or about my age. I want to tell you, I grew up in a public school system that was not nearly as anti-God as it is today, and I bet you they did too. But Israel, they grew up with the law. They had the priests, they had the temple, they had everything pointing them to God, but why didn't they turn? Because they listened to Babylon. They listened to Babylon. And we go over to Babylon. Just a little. But a little becomes more and more and more until all of a sudden, Babylon's got control. This spiritual battle can only be won in the heavenly realms. And I look at Scripture, and I look at, we've been going through the book of Revelation. I don't know what you're seeing, but I'm seeing, we're getting really close to the end times. And they, and my daughter would love this, when they tell us and come out and specifically say what they are doing, we want to see at least 25% of the world population dead. We want to make sure that every person in the world is injected so that we can trace every person and every animal in the world. We have the means to do this and we are going to do it and it's going to begin now. And you've got the leaders of many of the governments of the world that are lining up. And what do I read here? Babylon the Great has fallen, has become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. What's her fornication? Babylon rejected the true and the living God and embraced Satan and sought him. That was her fornication. And the whole world is drinking of that fornication. Just to show you how ridiculous it is, you can have just about any ungodly thing you want to put on TV, you want to put in the movie theater, you want to have a concert with, and you're allowed to do it. But you come with and want to have a preaching the gospel, literal Bible revival, and you're not going to get it. And he says here, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. Have they? Yes. You know, everybody thought that the new Prime Minister of England was going to be the guy that was going to bring England back to where it was once before. You realize he demanded that every British citizen needs to be vaccinated, although they finally did say that they're lifting it, making only 15 and above because too many kids 15 and under were dying and getting sick. But he said that. And he was going to be the deliverer of England. I don't think he's delivering England to anything except the world government. And the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. Are they? I just read that Pfizer had the biggest profits they've ever had in the history of the company last year. Guess why? Because every country in the world was telling them to have vaccinations. Israel, Prime Minister Netanyahu was supposed to be the one who was the great conservative deliverer of Israel, made a deal with Pfizer so that all of Israel would be vaccinated with the Pfizer vaccine and they couldn't use anybody else's. So all the problems they're having in Israel lay at the door of Pfizer and Benjamin Netanyahu. But the thing is, just like they said, they're growing filthy rich. You know why our legislators, you can write to your legislator, your senators. This woman got on the radio. I was listening to her and she hit everything on the head. She said, well, Nancy Pelosi's husband is making all kinds of money off the Chinese. And then you've got this politician is making all this money off the Chinese, and you've got this politician making all this money. You got our president who made all this money off the Chinese and the Russians and the Ukrainians, and yet we can't say anything because the emperor doesn't have any clothes, but we're not supposed to say it. It's real. They made deals with the devil for money. And they trampled under our Constitution, but more importantly, they trample under the blood of Christ for money. And they are willing to sell their own people for money. You know what happened in Israel? A lot of times, go and read what the prophets would talk about. The priests and the kings and the rulers would sell their people for money, for power. And then they couldn't figure out why God's blessing wasn't on them. But I want you to leave you with a good note. Babylon's falling. Babylon is falling. Guess what though? I can guarantee you, you're not going to have your house, your car, your... Because when it falls, we'll be coming with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. As he judges this wicked world system once and for all. No more of this, let's kill all of our young men, let's send them to Afghanistan for 20 years, then pull out overnight, making sure that some of them get killed on the way and we leave a bunch of Americans there. That'll give us a good excuse to go back into Afghanistan for another 20 years and we can make a whole bunch more money off of people as we build up a whole bunch more armaments and kill a whole bunch more people. Jesus is coming. When he knocked over the money changers' tables in the temple and kicked them out with a whip, nothing compared to when he comes with his 10,000s of saints. And with one word, defeats all the armies of the world and a Babylonian system that is causing men to go to hell. and it's going to be done. But the question is, are you looking forward to the rapture? Are you looking forward to be called by the Lord? Or are you still sitting here? Well, you know, next week, we've got to get a hospital installed down in Mobridge, and our longing should be for that. Our prayers should be that if the Lord isn't going to have the rapture soon, that Lord, will you touch people's hearts? Will you work in these hearts of wickedness to confound and confuse them? And will you draw people to you and open eyes to how they're saved? And remember, when you're asked to make choices, you always have a choice. The Babylonian system wants you to think you don't. But you do. And listen real close when God's Spirit's telling you what you're to do. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that you just help us and speak to us and help us to realize Babylon has fallen, has fallen, has fallen. The new reset won't last. The mark of the beast won't go on forever. The Antichrist has been defeated before he began because he was defeated at Calvary. And Lord, we look for that day of the new heavens and the new earth. And we long for the day where we will no longer have to face temptation and experience evil and wickedness all around us, but instead can see your power and glory. Go with us, we pray, and help us to be your ambassadors into a lost and dying world. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In closing, if you turn to 643,